sure that if we were in America, this much of a delay would have been much more of a problem. But we thank God that we're in Trinidad, where we just take it easy. Amen? As I've often told people, I was Trinidadian before I found my home here in Trinidad. I was always late to my college classes. I certainly could have done with another 15 minutes on all of those things. And so I know that other American missionaries that I talk to, it's difficult for them. Some of them that have been in the military and things like that and are used to running on that regiment schedule. I talk with them and they're very frustrated by the laid back ways. I admit sometimes it's more laid back than what I can handle. I know you've experienced times like that when you've tried to get something done somewhere and people are more laid back. But I could always use an extra 15 minutes. And so I appreciate your patience this morning. Trust that the message will be a blessing to you. I know the devil sure has fought this morning. I've had this problem one other time, but I was organizing the message, and I had worked on it yesterday, had saved it yesterday. And then, as customary to what I do on Sunday, I got up on Sunday morning early and was working, putting the finishing touches and such on the message. And right before I was going to print it, I was putting some last-minute things in. And it came up with some message that said a fatal error. Now, I don't know what had happened, but I know that's not a good message to see on your computer. And so I said, well, I cleared that window and tried to see if I could save the document, and it said it saved it. And so I said, well, let me reboot the computer because that'll fix probably most of the problems that it has. So when I rebooted it, sure enough, it had the document saved, but when I brought it up, it had like these little squares instead of all the text and stuff that's like computer language. So I don't know what happened, but I was able to at least reconstruct some of this stuff this morning. So I do have some notes in front of me, but I trust that it will be a blessing to you this morning as we look at the fourth in our series for the Beatitudes. And let's read it. Let's look and read the words. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And just as we talked about in the kids' sermon this morning, Jesus likens our pursuit of righteousness to how we pursue satisfying cravings in our life, like hunger and thirst. You know, in our society today, in fact, it wasn't too long ago, I can forget who I was talking to, but I'd asked, it may have been the team kids, I can't remember, but I'd asked the group, who has ever been hungry? And I thought certainly someone would raise their hand, and nobody raised their hand, you know. In our society today, the truth is most of us don't experience hunger like they would in maybe back in the olden days or even in some third world countries. We're very blessed, amen, you know, here in Trinidad, and I know in my upbringing in America, if ever I missed a meal, it was because I chose, you know, to miss that meal, whether I was fasting or whatever. But I had food available to me. But no doubt, in your experience, you have probably at least experienced what it's like to be hungry or to be thirsty. And I know if you're anything like me, when you have those cravings, you seek to satisfy that as soon as possible. In fact, you can ask my wife. If I go very long without eating, the first thing that happens is I get irritable. I just, you know, mad at the world and everything. And so, you know, we need to make sure that our pursuit of righteousness is very much the same way that we seek to satisfy the desires of, you know, hunger and thirst. Now, unfortunately, many things spiritually that we try to fill up on just simply do not satisfy. And the things of the world that seem so important to us, many times we try to replace that longing that has been put into our heart for God with the things of the world or maybe other relationships or other things like that. And those things will not satisfy us as God's righteousness will. It kind of reminds me, you know, in my mid-20s, something happened to my metabolism. And maybe some of you I hate to say older folks. That puts me in that category. Some of us more experienced people, amen? You may know that you may have noticed a transition from your teenage years to when maybe you reached your mid-20s. Maybe you might have been lucky and it extended into your late 20s. But I know for certain that somewhere around my mid-20s, I began to realize something had changed in my metabolism. Now, when I was in college and even when I was a teenager, man, I could eat donuts, pizza, tacos, hamburgers, drink all the sodas I want. I stayed just as skinny as that pole right there, you know? But all of a sudden, I got married, got out of college, and I started battling the bulge. Do you know what I'm talking about? And a new word came into my vocabulary. You may have heard this dreadful word before. Diet. You notice how it has the word die in it? Diet. That became a part of my vocabulary. And Marie and I, we realized that we were going to have to change the way we ate, and we were going to have to include exercise into our lifestyle if we hope not to blow up like a blimp. And so anyhow, I remember, you know, that we started trying some different things. And how many of you have ever eaten a rice cake? You know what a rice cake is? I don't see them much in Trinidad. You can thank God for that. A rice cake is about the worst thing, I think, that I've ever experienced. It's as close to what I can imagine as eating styrofoam, you know? Tasteless, horrible texture. And when you're done eating it, you don't feel like you ate anything, right? It doesn't fill you up. You know, that is very much what it's like if we try to satisfy that hunger and desire that we have for God's righteousness, if we try to substitute all the things of the world for that. Jesus says that we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I want you to turn to a passage. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah pick up the same kind of idea. And what I want you to understand is that there's many things that we can seek to fulfill our spiritual needs with. But there's only one real thing that will satisfy, and that's Jesus and God's righteousness. Isaiah 55, verse 2 and 3. I want you to notice what Isaiah says here. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, I know when we talk about physically, most of us don't want to be fat physically, right? Some cultures, that's a good thing, but in our culture, right? But spiritually, that is a good thing. You cannot hunger and thirst too much after righteousness. Isaiah says, eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So you see where Isaiah prompts them to eat that which is good. Don't waste our resources on those things that don't satisfy. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 2. Isaiah, if you found Isaiah, the next book is Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2, and look at verse 12 and 13. Verse 12, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Now look at what verse 13 says. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You see, God said at that point Israel had committed two grievances. They had gone away from God, and then they had sought to fulfill what they should have fulfilled themselves with God, the living waters. They had replaced that with broken cisterns. And you know, in the same way, there may be many of you here this morning. Your soul is hungry. Your heart is thirsty. And you feel a desire, a deep desire, a craving for something. Maybe everywhere you look, it seems like somebody else has it better than you. It may seem like the grass is always greener on the other side. But the great tragedy for some who feel that way is that even though the Spirit of God is pleading with them to turn to Him to fulfill that need, many will seek the wrong ways to fulfill that desire. They'll turn away to things like temporary pleasures, maybe R-rated movies, drugs, alcohol, maybe spending on clothing or other things like that. And yet all of those things will never truly satisfy. Because it's not long that after you've experienced the drugs or the alcohol or whatever it is that takes you out of this world, you wake up to the real world and all those problems are there again. The new toy that we so desperately pursue after, it breaks and is gone. I feel many times we may be like what Jeremiah recalls as people drinking at broken cisterns. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said regarding our desire. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy," now get that, "if I find in myself a desire which no experience, nothing in the world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." What a tremendous thought that is. This morning I want you to understand you must hunger and thirst for righteousness. That feeling inside of you that wants more. Maybe you're seeking to fulfill it, maybe in a boyfriend, a girlfriend, maybe some other kind of relationship, or maybe you seek to fulfill it in alcohol or drugs or some other thing like that. I want you to understand this morning, or whatever it may be, maybe you try to satisfy it by getting more things or whatever it may be. I want you to understand this morning, that thing is a poor substitute for what God has for you. And Jesus says this morning we ought to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Whatever it is that you're trying to fulfill that void with, it's like the rice cake that I was trying to eat when I was on that diet. It was tasteless, horrible texture, and it didn't fill me up. You know, that is exactly what the things of this world, when we try to take what the world has and use that to fulfill our longing for God, it's just like eating something like that or even feeding on air. This morning, as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, I want you to really think about what it must mean when Jesus says we ought to seek after righteousness the same way that we seek to fulfill our longings for food and for water. Why is it that He uses those longings? And think about your own life, your hunger and your thirst. How passionately does that drive you? And how could you take that idea and put it toward pursuing the things of God? Three things I want to look at this morning when we think about our desire for food and when we think about our desire for water. First, I want you to consider this morning the intensity of that desire. And I believe that's why Jesus uses this as an illustration as to how we should pursue after righteousness. You know, the desire to fulfill our need for food and the desire to fulfill our need for water is a very intense desire. Now, the longest that I've ever been without food, when I was a teenager, I was preparing for a mission trip that my youth group was going to take up to Canada. And the youth pastor had encouraged us to maybe fast and pray. And so I decided I was going to do that. And I said I was going to fast, not eat any food. I was going to drink water, but not eat any food for 3 days. Now, that's the longest I've ever been without food, and that was a long time ago. Has anybody ever been without food for longer than 3 days in here? Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Well, that was quite an experience for me. And I can tell you this much, I don't even think I made it the 3 days. I think I ate at the end of the third day. So I didn't make it 3 full days. But I can remember how intense my longing was for food after going for that long without food. In fact, I would look forward to brushing my teeth because of the taste in the toothpaste. That's how much I longed for food. And you know, I couldn't even imagine. When I was thinking about it today, I'm like, well, how long can you go without food. I must be pretty wimpy because 3 days, that was enough for me. But I was doing some research, and medical doctors commonly cite that people can go 4 to 6 weeks without food. Now, I can tell you after 3 days, I can't imagine. And I'm sure that after so long, your body begins to go into a different mode and things like that. But 4 to 6 weeks without food. There have been political prisoners reported to have lived 46 to 73 days before they died from lack of food. Came across another thing about 12 individuals who were protesting by starving themselves. You may have heard of people doing this, refusing to eat for some political reason or whatever it is that they're trying to do. There were 12. Two of those lost their tongues because of going so long without food. One lost his feet, and 7 were on kidney dialysis. So you begin to understand how important it is to eat and why we long to have that kind of food. Mahatma Gandhi survived 3 weeks without food while he was in his 70s. That's pretty amazing as well. But there is an intense desire for food. And those of you who have ever perhaps fasted for a time or whatever, you probably are very well able to understand what Jesus is speaking of when he talks about a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. That same desire that you had during that period of fasting or that period without food, that same desire that you had for food during that time, that is the kind of craving we ought to have for the things of God. What if we went after reading our Bible and praying the same way that we go after fulfilling our desire for food and fulfilling our desire for drink? That's what Jesus is talking about. We ought to desire Him just like we desire food and water. It's an intense kind of feeling. It's an intense kind of desire. And that's the kind of intensity that we ought to have toward following the things of God. Not only intensity, it's one of the most intense desires of mankind, but also there's frequency to it. Now this is interesting. I want you to really think about this. You think, why did Jesus compare our pursuit of righteousness to our pursuit of food and water? There's a reason. There's a reason why he used that longing to compare how we ought to pursue spiritual things and the things of God. You know, we have many needs, right? We have needs for shelter. We have needs for clothing, right? But those needs, I mean, once you build a house, it lasts for a while. You don't have to build a house every day, right? Clothing, the same way. We don't have to get up every morning and go buy clothing. Once we have fulfilled that need, it lasts for a little while. But not so with hunger, right? You fulfilled your need for hunger this morning, probably. Some may have skipped breakfast, but you'll fulfill your hunger again when you leave here today, right? And then that won't be enough. Remember when I was asking the kids, how many of you like eating so much that you're going to do it 3-4 times a day, right? That's how we are. You know, some of us may eat, you know, up to 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day, right? Amen? I won't, this isn't time for confession, right? So I'm not going to tell how many times a day I eat. But it's a recurring kind of need. And listen, our pursuit of righteousness, our Bible reading, our prayer, our relationship with Jesus Christ is just like our hunger and just like our thirst. You can't just come on Sunday, right, and then say, oh, well, I'm good till next Sunday. What if you ate like that, right? We need to have a frequency about our relationship with the Lord and our pursuit of righteousness. A recurring need. It must be met again and again and again and again. Listen to what one commentator said. He said, hunger and thirst here are expressive of strong desire. Nothing would better express the strong desire which we ought to feel to obtain righteousness than hunger and thirst. No needs are so keen, none so imperiously demand supply as these. They occur daily, and when long continued, in the case of those shipwrecked and doomed to wander months or years over burning sands with scarcely any drink or food, nothing is more distressing. Now, this is this desire to hunger after God is seen in other places. Turn to Psalm chapter 42. Verse 1 and 2. This may be familiar to you. You may even know that song, As the Deer. It says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul." Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. "So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" So we see the thirst for God there. Turn over to Psalm 63. Verse 1 and 2. "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to seek thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." So we see this theme throughout Scripture of desiring God just like a deer might desire water, or just as we fulfill our desire for food and water again and again and again. There's a frequency, there's a recurrence to our need for fulfilling our hunger and our thirst. And in the same way, we need to have that same recurrence in our seeking righteousness. So there's intensity, there's frequency. But then I want to explore one last thing. There's a necessity to food, right? Not only is it one of our most intense cravings, if we go without it for a while, we'll begin to understand how intense it is. Most of us don't have to experience that intense pain because we're very blessed in the society we live in. But there's an intensity, and then there's a frequency. But I want you to think about the necessity for food. Now, I had not encountered this belief before until I did some research for this message. But it's something called an edia. It's also known as, I believe I'm saying this right, forgive me if I'm not, breatharianism. This is what breatharianism teaches. It's a concept, and I think it comes from the East, Far East, in which believers claim food and possibly water are not necessary, and that humans can be sustained solely by what they call prana, the vital life force, or according to some, by the energy of sunlight. Breatharianism. Now, I don't know if we have any, what would they be, breatharianists in our congregation today, but how many of you believe that you can live without water or food? Anybody? Well, let me tell you, there was a famous breatharianist, I guess. She went by Jasmaheen. She was really born Ellen Grieve, was her name. They said in this article she was probably the most famous advocate of breatharianism during the 1990s. She claimed, "I can go for months and months without having anything other than a cup of tea." She says, "My body runs on a different kind of nourishment," claimed Ms. Grieve. Several interviewers found her house full of food, but she claimed that food was for her husband, who obviously wasn't a breatharianist. In 1999, she volunteered to be monitored closely by the Australian television program 60 Minutes for 1 week without eating to demonstrate her methods. But then Grieve claimed that she failed because on the first day of the test, she had been confined in a hotel room near a busy road, and she said that the stress and the pollution of the air kept her from getting the nutrients that she needed. She says, "I asked for fresh air. 70% of my nutrients come from fresh air. I couldn't even breathe," she said. Now, on the third day, the test moved to a mountainside retreat where she could get plenty of fresh air and could live happily. She fasted for 4 days, and then at that point, Dr. Barris Wink, the president of the Queensland branch of the Australian Medical Association, urged her to stop the test. According to the doctor, Grieve's pupils were dilated, her speech was slow, she was quite dehydrated, probably over 10%, giving up to 11% of dehydration. Towards the end of the test, she said her pulse was about double of what it was when she started. And she advised that if she went any further, she risked kidney failure. Now, because 60 Minutes would be culpable if she were to have some problem under their filming, they encouraged her that she should stop. to which Miss Grieve gladly agreed. The point is, even though there may exist, and there's even a Breatharian Institute of America that I was looking at, where they will teach you those techniques if you simply give them a large sum of money. They'll teach you how to live simply on air. Imagine how much money you could save on your grocery bill, Pastor Eric, if you could just live off of sunlight and air. The truth of the matter is, you cannot live off of sunlight and air. That lady was not living off sunlight and air. She couldn't even go over 4 days under documentation with that film crew. She was showing all the same signs that everybody else does when they go without food. But I wonder if we don't have some breatharianess today in their spiritual life. Do you have this idea that you can, you know, be a Christian and yet not hunger and thirst and feed on the righteousness of God? Do you have an idea that you can be pleasing in God's sight and yet never study the Word of God? Be half-hearted in your commitment to go to His house and worship, not spend time with Him in prayer every day. My friend, if that's how you live your Christian walk, I'm afraid that you may be the spiritual version of a breatharianist. I hope this morning that you understand that just as you crave food and just as you crave water, with that same desire that you fulfill those needs, you ought to pursue righteousness and your relationship with God. There's an intensity to our need to eat and our need to have water. There's a frequency to it. And in the same way, we need to spend time recurring again and again and again, pursuing the righteousness of God. And then there's a necessity. I want you to understand that it's just as needful as human food and water is to our spiritual life, pursuing God's righteousness, our Bible study, our prayer is just as important to our spiritual life. You know, as I was researching for this message, I was doing some research on starvation, and I saw some pictures, some of children in Africa. It's heartbreaking. Have you ever seen some of those pictures of children that are starving? And you can just tell they have no meat on their bones and their stomach is bulging. And then I came across another picture of a Vietnamese man who had evidently been in some kind of prison camp. He looked like a walking skeleton. You know, I wonder today, if we could look at your spiritual life, how would you look regarding your spiritual hunger and thirst for righteousness? Would you look healthy as a spiritual believer who seeks after righteousness, who reads your Bible and prays and seeks after God with your heart? Or would you spiritually look like someone who is starving, someone who is emaciated and who needs nourishment? I hope this morning that you'll make up your mind that you will hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, it's easy to let things like that go because nobody can really look and see. Nobody here can look and see what you look like spiritually. But my friend, understand that God sees how well nourished we are spiritually. We need to make sure that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. One last illustration this morning, and we'll be done. I love Aesop's fables, and he has one about a donkey and some grasshoppers. The donkey heard some grasshoppers chirping and was just completely enamored by the beauty of the sound that those grasshoppers could make. The donkey just thought it was the most melodious, beautiful thing he had ever heard. And so he asked the grasshoppers what kind of food they lived on. What kind of food was it that provided such beautiful voices for them? To which they replied to the donkey, "We eat the dew off of the grass." Well, the donkey resolved that that's what he would do. He would live only upon the dew on the grass so that he would have that sound as beautiful as the grasshopper. And of course, Aesop says, within a short time, that ignorant donkey died. Why? Because a donkey cannot live off of what a grasshopper eats. You know, in the same way, you cannot live your life like the world and have a spiritual healthiness before God. When we pursue the baubles and the trinkets and the ways of the world, really we are just like that donkey trying to feed ourselves and to gain some kind of nourishment off of just the dew upon the grass. I hope this morning that you'll make up your mind that you're going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, when we ask questions like, how many of you ate breakfast today? Many hands went up. If I ask you, how many of you plan on eating later today? We all raise our hands, right? But what if I were to ask you, how many of you have read your Bible this week? How many of you plan on reading it this week? How many of you plan on spending time in prayer with God? You know, we ought to have the same kind of schedule in our Bible reading and prayer and our relationship with God, and the same kind of plans for that as we do to fulfill our desire for food and our desire for drink. I hope this morning that you will indeed hunger and thirst for righteousness.